Okay, we want to turn to the last part of our program. Dr. Hoekster is going to review the TREE study.
The TREE trial originally started to look at different ways of combining fluoropyrimidines with oxaliplatin. And so we began the study originally looking at infusional 5-FU, bolus 5-FU, or oral fluoropyrimidine with capecitabine. And this is the European trial of 1,000 per meter squared twice a day for 14 days. And about the time we had accrued the 150 patients here, Herb presented the pivotal bevacizumab data. So we thought an easy way to understand what the toxicity would be by adding bevacizumab to each of these three arms. And also at this time, the DSMB recommended reducing the capecitabine dose. So in TREE 2, not only did we add bevacizumab to each arm, but we also reduced the capecitabine in that arm, and that changed the toxicity profile considerably. So demographically, these are all pretty similar in both studies. And in TREE 1, almost half the patients required dose reductions of capecitabine in the first 12 weeks, and that led to the dose reduction. So if we look at the toxicity pattern, in TREE 1, the capecitabine resulted in quite a bit more dehydration, diarrhea, and hospitalization, whereas the FOLFOX had uncomplicated neutropenia. With the lower dose of capecitabine plus bevacizumab, this arm now became the least toxic arm and was certainly equivalent to FOLFOX in terms of outcomes. So here's an example where finding the right dose made as much difference as anything. The primary endpoint, again, was the grade 3-4 toxicities during the first 12 weeks and were less, actually, than the numbers that Dr. Hurwitz quoted for the pivotal trial. Overall, the addition of bevacizumab to any of these oxaliplatin fluoropyrimidine regimens did not increase the toxicity beyond what one would expect. And in general, the capecitabine, the capox arm, was tolerated quite well. The BFOL was tolerated quite well, but was also a little less active. In terms of responses, it appears that the addition of bevacizumab in each of these cohorts, which are, again, not simultaneous controlled cohorts, but it's sequential cohorts in the same protocol, so two cohorts within the same protocol, within the same investigators, does show that the response rate is higher with the addition of bevacizumab for each arm. One of the other interesting observations is the time to progression is higher in each of these, and specifically for CAPOX, we've gone up from 6 to 10 months median time to progression. The time to treatment failure does not vary that much with the addition of bevacizumab, which tells us that we're still running into the problem of neurotoxicity when we get to about 6 months with the use of oxaliplatin, even though patients can continue on without oxaliplatin for some time. So these two sequential cohorts showed us that the addition of bevacizumab to each of them is safe with expected toxicities and expected overall grade 3-4 toxicity rate, and that with the right dose of capecitabine, this is a very good regimen and totally equivalent to full FOX infusion 5-FU. How are we going to develop all these new drugs that inhibit the same pathway multiple ways or multiple pathways? Well, there's the pile-on approach where we just keep adding more and more biologics. And that seems to be where the data are leading us at the moment, but there's probably a limit to how much we can do that. Combination chemotherapy is still the platform. Angiogenesis is a validated pathway, and there are more and more drugs coming out that will blockade this pathway. And the growth factor pathway is similarly validated. We don't know if we can use the EGFR TKIs in colorectal cancer, but there are trials now using them. So we will see. And the dual blockade studies are currently underway and will really lead us to the future, including potentially in the adjuvant setting.
This concludes our program. Special thanks to our speakers, and thank you for listening. This is Dr. Neil Love for this special edition of Colorectal Cancer Update.